Matthew chapter 9, begin in verse 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened, as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I think one of the most common mistakes that is often made in biblical interpretation is a failure to distinguish between the Old and New Testaments, the Old and New Covenant. And often it is the case, probably like sometimes when we're driving. Maybe you've had this happen to you, or maybe you've probably seen it happen, or at least the very least heard of it happening. When somebody runs off the road on their side of the road, sometimes they overcompensate and they jerk the wheel back and they end up in the other ditch on the opposite side of the road. And we talk about overcompensating. We talk about overcorrecting. And sometimes it's the case that an overcorrection occurs even on something like differences or the distinction between the Old and New Testament. The title of tonight's Devo is "Some Things Never Change." Certainly there is a distinction that is made between the Old and New Covenants. Much has been written by inspiration that tells us about that. The book of Hebrews, Galatians, Romans, Ephesians, Colossians, all of these letters deal with that subject matter. However, at the same time, the Old Testament is not forgotten. Romans 15 and verse 4 reminds us that it is by the Old Testament that we learn about God. We have hope and learn about God and His dealings with His children, in fact. And so, while it is not authoritative, we still learn from it. And so, while the Old then is not forgotten in the process, and some have accused us of doing so, it is vital that we understand the Old so that we can better understand the New. In fact, we see this in numerous passages where Jesus would refer back to events of that happened under the Old Testament law, or events that happened that are recorded for us and were recorded for Israel in the Old Testament. For instance, even Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. Who's Lot? Who's Lot's wife? If we have no understanding of the Old Testament, we wouldn't have an understanding of what Jesus is trying to teach about turning back and so forth. And so, certainly then, we have an understanding, or if we have an understanding of the Old Testament, then we'll understand better the New. And while we come to the New Testament and we live under the New Covenant as Christians, we know that there were certain elements that were set aside, such as animal sacrifices, the burning of incense, dietary restrictions, on and on we could probably go to make the point. But there are some instructions that seem to transcend, if you will, both Old and New Covenants, such as we read here in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus says, "Go and learn what this means. I will have compassion." Some translations use the word mercy here. "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." And we find out that he was actually quoting from the prophet Hosea. Hosea 6, verse 6. And so this truth, though it's found in the Old Testament, equally applicable for us all. And some things just do not change. Some things never change. So what was the vital truth that transcends both Old and New Covenants that Jesus was trying to admonish them to learn and the lesson for us to learn as well? How is it that, is it the case then that God was not at all wanting sacrifice when in fact He has commanded for us, even as Christians, to be sacrificial? But here's the difference. Here's the, I guess, the point of it all. Sacrifice is an act of religious ritual. It's an activity that's carried out. It's been prescribed. The manner has been prescribed. How it's going to be accomplished is prescribed in the New Testament for us as well, as it was even in the Old Testament. And so sacrifice, while it's an act of religious ritual, inherent in sacrifice is the danger that it could become just that, a heartless ritual. And in fact, I think that's what Brother Brian has been teaching in the book of Romans, is get us to see that it was more than just the ritual, those things under the old law. God wanted their hearts, right? He wanted their minds. He wanted their all. Not just the sacrifice itself. And so sacrifices, festivals, prayers even, those offerings unto God, without, or maybe thinking about with the absence of the heart of mankind, the one who was devoted supposedly to God, would actually become detestable. And we find that as well in our Old Testaments, Amos chapter 5, Micah chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And so Jesus was teaching that God's not interested in the performance of prescribed rituals, but in hearts that are finely tuned unto His will. That's the point of it all. Those other things will take care of themselves, because the finely tuned heart that's ascribed to God's will, they're going to do those things that are pleasing unto God, but they're going to do so in a way that truly brings glory and honor unto God. And so whether it was an ancient Israelite under the old covenant, or whether it was a modern day disciple of Christ, God still requires the heart. And so we think about verse 9 of our passage, God's still first looking for that same type of heart, the one who would be devoted to Him. And Jesus passed forth from thence, and He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's office, if you will, and He said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose immediately and followed him. And then what we learn from that is that Matthew had a heart to serve God. And so just as Jesus called Matthew to serve, and Matthew gave him his heart and followed him, he learned those things that would be prescribed, those things that he would have to do, and he continued to follow him. And so my question to us tonight, have you given your heart to God? Now, those things that prescribe to us tell us how we can give our heart unto God, how to follow Him in a prescribed manner, believing Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Christ, being baptized to wash away our sins, putting on Christ in baptism, Galatians 3 and verse 27. But then He wants to continue to have our heart, and not for our lives just to be merely ritualistic, but rather day to day devoted unto Him. And so are we living faithful lives unto God? Can we help, or can we encourage you? If you have a need, come to the front while we stand and while we sing.